Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store though, just visit tecovas.com, tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. I'm Chessa.
I'm Tiggy.
And today we are beyond excited to be sitting down with an incredible driver and a 10 out of 10 personality in the motorsport world, Pato O'Ward. He is currently an IndyCar driver with Arrow McLaren. He has four full seasons under his belt doing that. And prior to that, he competed in a lot of different amazing series. He was the 2018 Indy Next by Firestone champion. And in addition to being a full-time IndyCar driver, he's also the F1 reserve driver for McLaren. So you definitely have a lot going on.
Yeah. Thank you for the invite.
Pato, thanks for joining.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for the for the great invite to this amazing podcast. I feel like we've done one before, or is it the first one?
No, we saw you at Laguna Seca.
In person.
Exactly.
In person.
Yeah. Which was a blast. So we were in the media pen there. We did some fun questions. So.
Yeah. So.
Round two.
Busy. Busy's good.
Busy is good. So tell us first about your off season. How have you enjoyed that? Do you have a kind of rose or thorn of your off season so far?
No, just, I had a very packed year up until mid-December. So as soon as I was done in December 16th was my like first day off. And I was just so excited to do nothing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to hear about picking up a dumbbell. I didn't want to hear from really anybody. Like, everybody that called me or texted me at that time didn't really get a response.
That's so fair, though.
I wanted to turn off my, like, I spent too much time during the year just like, you know, always having to do this and do that. Now we have to do this. And so I was like, I don't want to see a camera. I don't want any technology around me. I wanted to be outside. Then it got like cold and muggy. So then I couldn't really be outside. So I just enjoyed my dogs and tried to keep up with eating well. Yeah. But that's it. It was not a boring off season, but like a very toned down off season.
Well, you also went to Abu Dhabi towards the end of last year and you did an F1 test. So how was that?
Yeah, that was really good. I've always enjoyed going to that side of the world. It's definitely different. It's a really cool event. You know, speaking of how Abu Dhabi just embraces the Formula One finale there, and it's an enjoyable track to drive. I got to drive it first time actually in a GP3 car in 2016, 2017, and then my next time was 2021 in the Formula One car. And so that was very enjoyable. I was over there for like 10 days, so that was cool. And just a lot of traveling, to be honest, like from September to December, I think I ended up doing like 120 hours of flying-ish, 130 hours of flying. So it's quite a bit for me in months, was that? Yeah, 4 months. So I was excited not to touch an airport for at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, time at home with the dogs is well-deserved after all of that. So For your FP1, how did you prepare for that? What, how different is your Indy car and that mindset, and then jumping into the McLaren F1 car? How did you prepare for that?
So the FP1, so there was a lot of like simulator sessions beforehand. Well, not a lot, but like a day, I think I did. Yeah, I did a day. And it's more than a session being for like, for me, it's more of a session to help the team because they obviously don't have one of the race drivers in it, for that. So you kind of get to do all the dirty work. So you get to do all the ride height scans, you get to do, different, setup changes. Are we going to use this wing? Are we going to use this wing? Not like IndyCar where we can't really move or change parts on the car other than ultimately in the suspension kind of things. The F1 is fairly free, so they always come with a lot of options to these races. So I was basically doing that, you know, just trying to gather as much information in as many laps as I could in order to help Lando being. Or not having to kind of say, you know, the car is not in the window in practice too. Mm-hmm. So it was all about helping that side of the garage kind of not have an issue going into P2 and just making it as smooth as possible. And then I had my proper go at the test, which was 2 days after the race.
That sounds like definitely a lot of responsibilities on the reserve driver side, like a lot of things for you to have to think about. How do you juggle those responsibilities, like with the travel, with all of that work while you're at an F1 race weekend, but also being a full-time IndyCar driver as well?
So luckily, I mean, I don't know if it's luckily because I'd like the IndyCar schedule to be a little bit more spread out, to be honest. Mm. But I mean, we end in mid-September, so there's like 5 months of nothing for all the IndyCar drivers. So as soon as the IndyCar schedule is done, I can kind of not forget about it, but like I don't really have to cater to it at all. This year, or this past 2023, was slightly different because of all the hybrid testing that we were trying to get done. Right. So there was a lot of back and forth from Europe to America to do all those tests. But if it wasn't for the hybrid engine, I probably wouldn't have even driven an Indy car up until next week. So that really, it kind of just allowed me to not disconnect, but focus more on the Formula One stuff. And
yeah, like keep it a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. And Indy car really has, it's second nature. So for me, it doesn't take a lot to kind of get into the groove with that. So, you know, one or two laps, and you're pretty much already there. So, with the F1 stuff, just trying to, not a new skill, I would call it, but it's just a new way of working and a new way of kind of reading a different race car. That's where my focus mainly goes as soon as I'm done with IndyCar.
Besides the actual driving, do you feel like the teams themselves and the whole setup is just super different? Just like the day plan and how things are ordered and how everything works?
Well, for example, a Formula One weekend compared to an IndyCar weekend, from the ones that I've been to, which is like Austin, Mexico, they have a really nice schedule. So they don't have to get to the track until probably... engineers probably get there at like 8:30 or 9, I guess. Maybe 8 a.m. is if like practice is at 11:30 or whatever, that's probably when they're arriving, or maybe a little bit more. I don't quite know, but as in for the drivers, it's a pretty nice schedule and very nicely spaced out kind of thing. In IndyCar, like, I mean, a lot of the times it's kind of like be at the truck at 7 a.m. and it's like, okay, so that is definitely a big difference from one to the other, just the scheduling and how each program is kind of spaced out through the weekend. F1 has like three practices. We used to have three, now we only have two. The qualifying is fairly similar. It's not identical, but it's very close. Our races are a lot longer than Formula One. Like,
yeah,
our races are a lot longer in IndyCar. So that's a difference. And, you know, just the way of working is you've got different tools to work with. So you can't have the same approach from F1 in IndyCar, and then you can't have the same approach in IndyCar to Formula One, because the way that you can develop a car is completely different. So that you'd right. expect it to be a very different way of kind of working through, just because what's available is just completely different.
Totally. So something else you did over off season, a little bit different than maybe what a typical race car driver does, is go to New York Fashion Week. Tell us about that experience and what was the highlight of that? Were you starstruck by anybody?
No, I enjoy fashion. My sister's kind of the one that got me on the fashion train. Yeah. It's very rare if I see her like in what I'm wearing right now. I got this hoodie in the airport actually, leaving Detroit, because I had forgotten my jacket. But I'm not saying that it's like ultra fashion. It's absolutely not. I just finished the workout. But she's the one that kind of got me on like having fun with outfits, I guess. So I've really grown to love it and really grown to enjoy it. The only bad part about it is sometimes it gets fairly pricey. But other than that, it's cool. It's something different and something that I'd like to incorporate into a race weekend. I don't know exactly when, but it's just an idea that I had, or not really that I had. I think we see it a lot with like NFL. We see it a lot for Formula One. But like IndyCar really does nothing of that. So I think it's cool to kind of merge both worlds and just have fun with it. Like, that's the point. It's not really to like, look at my outfit.
Exactly.
No, it's just like, have fun with it. You know, get people excited about maybe what they're going to see you wearing on certain race day or whatever. So yeah, I like it. I had fun. I went with my sister. She was the one that was taking all the videos and the pictures. I couldn't really take it myself. So that was, it's cool. Like, and I know she really enjoys that. So she was the perfect person to bring with me.
Did you like New York?
I love New York. I think New York. So I used to not like New York at all.
Okay. We'll pretend.
We both live in New York,
years,
by the way.
I've grown. So I've grown to love New York because I feel like my life pace is the same as New York. So back in the day when it wasn't that intense, I was just overwhelmed by New York and kind of just like, I just want peace and quiet. But when I'm there working, I think it's fabulous. I think it's awesome. I really like it. Everybody's on their own kind of on their own juju, you know, like they don't judge, and you're just on your program, and very different to like LA. But I really like it. I like to go to New York. I don't know if I'd like to live there. Like, if I have nothing to do that day and I'm in New York, like when I have nothing to do and I have 3 days off, I go to the opposite end of what New York has to offer. I go to peace. I don't want to see a car. I don't want to see anybody. I want to wake up and I don't want to see cars on the road. Like, I go to the extreme of peace. So,
That's fair.
I mean,
that's
like
what Central Park is for. The middle of Central Park, you won't see a single car.
Maybe just a lot of people.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a good spot. But so you had quite the season last year. You finished fourth in the championship with a career best of 7 podium finishes throughout the season. What did you learn from last season? How are you taking that into 2024?
What did I learn? Just because you didn't have a race win doesn't mean you had a bad year.
Exactly. That's a great lesson.
That's probably the biggest learning curve, realization. Because we did have a really good season, like double the podiums we've ever had in a season you know, in the past we've had two race wins with like three podiums or four podiums. So this time we had seven podiums, no race wins, but it was a more consistent, I guess, season, looking at it as a whole. And I feel like the way that we fought back after having a really tough time, like end of May into June, like that was we had two DNFs in a row, which are just destroy your championship. So that, I think that just, it makes us feel good about like how we recovered, because, you know, other than the Ganassis, we were the next guy. So, there's just little things we have to clean up, but I don't think we're far off at all.
And you've got a new teammate this year. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, so I know David actually from karting, because we raced together quite a few times at nationals and super nats, maybe. So like quite a bit of karting together, and cool guy. I mean, I've known his dad as well for a long time, and Henry, super super cool guy, and. I think he's really gonna come out of his shell with the atmosphere at McLaren Racing as a whole. I think he'll be a great addition.
That's so amazing. Yeah, we were there at the weekend in Laguna Seca when they announced everything, and it was really cool. I think you guys already have some really good chemistry.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we talk a little bit about kind of growing up and where you're from. So you're from Monterrey in Mexico, and you split your time.
And you roll
up.
Your R's.
Well, I was born in Mexico too, Monterrey. So I do speak Spanish.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Monterrey, Mexico. And then when I was like 11, I moved to Texas, which is just a hop from Monterrey. And that's what really turned into home, I'd say, Texas.
Do you feel like your karting and like your path to IndyCar really came alive in San Antonio as well? Because I know that there is a decent amount of motorsport culture in Mexico, and those fans love you as well. So how have you kind of seen both of those worlds?
No, absolutely. Like I still, what I miss most about Mexico is the language and the people, but I don't have to be in Monterrey in order for me to feel like home, if that makes any sense. So, like, 100%, I spend a lot. I spend a lot of time in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, which I mean, I wasn't born there. I go there because I really like going there, and I feel like home. So for me, any time that I have time off, I always go to Mexico. Always, 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 because that's what I miss the most. San Antonio has turned into home for me because that's where my parents are and that's where my family is. So I've always said home is where your family is. It doesn't matter where it is. But it's, you know, even if I'm not in Mexico, like, for example, Long Beach is a massive market for me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm racing in Mexico there because I've got so many people coming out to support and so many Mexican flags, a lot of native, you know, Spanish-speaking people. So for me, it's really cool to see that growth over the past few years because it's been exponential. It's been really, really strong year after year. So every year that we go into these markets that we've seen a lot of growth from, we're like, you know, I wonder what it's going to be like this year. And I'm so used to being on the road and being on a plane. Like for me, it's more about having, you know, your loved ones around you rather than like being at a specific place.
Yeah. The Mexican motorsport fans are very special. They're very, very loyal. And we were at a race in Austin, an F1 race in Austin, and there was a ton of Mexican fans there too. I feel like they're just really sticky and they really connect with their drivers and really love them and support them through a lot. So that's good for you. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're super passionate. They are some of the most passionate fans, or they're the most passionate fans that I've ever come across. Yeah. And it's sometimes it's definitely overwhelming because they've just got so much energy and passion, but it is like that's what ultimately kind of elevates the experience for a driver.
Totally. Well, we loved your selfie with Checo at Abu Dhabi. How's your relationship with Checo? Do you chat with him much, or how's that been?
No, it's good. We don't really chat a lot during the year because I know he's busy, and you know, just like I'm doing my things, I'm sure he's doing his. So anytime that I'm over at a Formula One paddock, I always try and stop by and say hello. But it's definitely not like a monthly communication or anything. Like I'll see him once a year, really.
Awesome. Well, we want to chat a little bit about McLaren launches. So you all are set to launch your livery soon. We also saw, obviously, McLaren did the hard launch of the F1 livery yesterday on social media. So tell us what you can about your launch events coming up and the livery.
I was shocked. Like,
so you didn't know it was coming.
I know. I had no idea. Like, I kept seeing these videos. And I was like, wait, they launched it. So I was not aware at all. Until I was like, yeah, they launched it. Okay. So my car gets launched on February 8th. The first team car, which I believe is Rossi, is February 6th. And then, David is the 7th. And, well, you'd expect it to look somewhat close to the design of the Formula One car, I guess. I love the look of mine. I think it looks fantastic, as it always does. You know, very aggressive, very me, I'd say. Like, I feel like when people see that car, they can always tell that it's me. So that's cool. And yeah, we're going to be going to some events prior to the launch. I'm sure we're going to be talking about it there at a Pacers game, and we're going to Monster Jam, see some trucks fly. And
nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. Okay, so one thing we always love to do on this podcast is wrap up with some fun hot takes or rapid fire questions. We're going to ask you some questions. They're really, really hard. Good luck. Just kidding. But they're going to be fun little questions. So we will begin. Okay. So we read somewhere that one of your favorite foods is chilaquiles. So I have a lot of questions about that. First of all, red or green?
Green.
Good. Correct answer. And then chicken or eggs?
So both. So not together, but I trade. So I'll do eggs and then I'll do chicken, but both.
Okay. So
eggs. But always green.
For lunch. Always green.
Always green.
Okay. Awesome. How about race you're most looking forward to this season?
Indy 500.
Yeah. Hard to top that.
Yeah.
I'm back up with a food question. We read somewhere also that you like sushi. Spicy tuna roll or spicy salmon roll?
Spicy tuna.
Okay. Funniest nicknames people have for you?
Potato. Probably, but like Felix always kept saying potato, and then he called himself Frotato. Like,
I mean, why did he call you potato?
I don't know. Like, I can't remember. I can't remember who started it, but they just started calling me potato tater.
So, if someone's like, "Hey tater," like you'll turn, you'll answer to that?
No. No. No.
Okay, how about favorite hometown rec, either from San Antonio and or from Monterrey?
Favorite recommendation from San Antonio is Chamagaucha.
Okay.
Or Brazão. They're like a Brazilian steakhouse, really, really good. And for Monterrey, honestly, I love Tacos Alfaro. It's a takeout, so you just pick up and it's just like steak, and they send you like sauces, tortilla. It's so good.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds so good. So I know you didn't want to touch a dumbbell in December or for at least the beginning part of your off season, but what's your favorite workout or exercise during the off season? You had to pick one.
If I have to pick a favorite, definitely not the neck. The neck is just torture machine. Definitely not like running. Like, I enjoy running, not every day. I think it's very good for the mind, but I wouldn't pick that as my favorite. It's just probably something to do with where like you use your like upper body, your core, like just probably an exercise that uses your whole body. Like, I think the landmines are pretty cool. So you basically have this like bar, you put a weight on it, and then you just like you have to like turn with it. So you're using all of your core, your arms, your legs, chest, back. So I think that one's a very good overall exercise.
Okay, Tiggy, maybe we'll try it. Probably.
Yeah. We were talking to Max Verstappen's former trainer yesterday, and he said that Max can hold a neck plank for a minute, which sounds terrifying.
Really? No, but it's good. That's what you have to do. That's what you need.
I would just buckle and get really hurt. So I don't know. Maybe we'll try that too. Who knows? Well, Pato, thank you so much for taking the time. We are so excited for your upcoming season and just continuing to follow you. You're doing so amazing. And you have a lot of fans in all of our listeners. So this has been really fun.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies. Have fun. Enjoy the year.
Thanks.